This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. No, that is not Clint Eastwood. That's Greg Gabriel. He is our dear friend. Greg, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Greg.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
I love that that pro football music. The old was that the old Inside the NFL show? Where was that from again? The old anyway.
Is that what it was?
NFL films music. NFL films. Greg, how in the heck are you? And you know, we talked recently because you had a brilliant tweet. Really found it interesting, the idea, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday. This idea that the Alliance of American Football has become a sensation just because they play football, just because they're on TV. And I did watch it. I found myself more interested in it than I thought I'd be. And it just possibly because football's the perfect television game, Greg. But the quarterback play was garbage. And that's a problem maybe in the NFL. Maybe it's a problem in the AAF. And you have the solution, right?
Well, not only is the quarterback play a problem, so is the offensive line play. They can't protect the quarterbacks. And when I was watching that, the first thing that popped into my mind is this is a perfect venue for NFL teams to send practice squad offensive linemen, young offensive linemen who didn't play much or at all during the regular season, and young quarterbacks to this league to get some play time. You know, with the league rules right now, the way the practice rules have been set up, since the new collective bargaining agreement took place, there's no contact in practice. You have 14 or 13 padded practices during the course of a regular season. Once you get out of training camp, there is no real practice. And so how are linemen going to develop without having those live reps? This is a perfect place to send them, have them learn on the job. Not quite NFL football, but it is football, and in some cases it might be better than college football.
You just described NFL Europe back in the World League days, Greg, and I think that the developmental aspect of that
exactly
is
what it is.
Yeah, and I think that teams would have some advantages, and they would see the value in trying to give experience to guys like a Tyler Bray. If you're the Bears and you got your third team quarterback under contract, and why is he under contract? Why not get him to the point where he's functional? Why not get your backup third string tight end to the point where he's developing a skill set that maybe he can't during practice because of what you mentioned? How motivated do you think the NFL will be to maybe go in that direction? Is this maybe a trial period for them to wait and see, because it finally has some credibility? Bill Polian being behind this, I think, is significant.
Well, it's not only Polian, it's Ebersol, and you've got a lot of former NFL people working in the AAF as far as, you know, being personnel type people and helping run these franchises. I think this year's a kind of like a wait and see situation where they're going to watch the play, see how it develops, and see if you can work out something. The league is, the NFL, just by the mere fact that they're televising these games on the NFL Network, or some of these games on the NFL Network, they have got an interest. And I think that because you've got people like Polian involved in the league, that you're going to see something happen. Obviously not this year, but it wouldn't surprise me if you have some sort of allocation agreement between the AAF and the NFL next year. The only thing where I think that could change is they could move back the season a few weeks, because some cases, like playoff teams, those guys would be missing the entire training camp portion of the AAF season because they started up the week after the Super Bowl.
And you could also experiment with rules, right? You could, if you wanted to try something, if you had some proposal, you could throw it in this league, take a look at it, see how it worked out, and decide whether you liked it or not.
Well, I think you might even do it more than 1 week. Maybe you do it for a month or something, you know, 4 weeks of games. But yeah, you can do a lot of things with this league where it can benefit the NFL later on. I mean, you know, some of the things people have already looked at, like, you know, like the time clock between plays is shorter. Some situations like that to speed up the game, get more plays in the game, you know, that could be, as far as the fan goes, could make viewing a lot easier and a lot better.
Okay, Greg, let's switch to the NFL. Kyler Murray with the big news this week. Got a lot of people kind of excited about the NFL draft by announcing his intention to play football. Call me crazy, but it will not surprise me at all because of the way that he, because of the how different he is and what he offers in the way of being kind of one of those quarterbacks is just a playmaker. I won't surprise me if he's a top 10 pick by draft day. What do you think?
Well, you know, if you look at all the prototypes, you'd say you're nuts, but I don't disagree with you at all. In fact, I've been told that there is one guy who runs a team in the top 10 that is very intrigued by Kyler Murray. I don't want to mention his name, but and so, yeah, it could very well be the case. And he's got a skill set that is different. Problem is the height. There hasn't been a guy that short playing the league and have any success since Doug Flutie, and Doug Flutie's success was moderate at best. So that part works against him, but he's very, very athletic. He's got a strong arm. He's accurate, but then you go look at the negatives too. He's a one-year starter. But then the other people, the other side of the argument will say, well, yeah, so is Mitch Trubisky, a one-year starter. So there's a lot of things you got to look at. I think you got to find out exactly how big he is. We'll find that out at the combine. Is he 5'8.5", 5'9.5", 5'10"? Nobody really knows the answer to that.
You know, I mean, we've seen plenty of 5'10 quarterbacks. If the guy is 5'9¾", I don't know. It wouldn't bother me that much. But if he is 5'8 or below that, you know, Greg, I was saying to David, he reminds me a little bit, or you could use him, like Antoine Randall, a guy like that, where you would have him do a ton. And that's not a first-round pick, don't get me wrong, but that's a really valuable weapon to have on your team, a guy that could do a lot of little gimmicky things and you could work in and out of the lineup. I mean, there's a world of possibility.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, in his case, you got to have – I read a thing yesterday, and it makes sense, that he's got going into this draft a little bit more power than a lot of people because, you know, a team could say – you know, call him up, we're going to draft you. And he said, well, where are you going to play me? Well, we're going to play you here, here, and here. He goes, no, I'm playing baseball.
Right.
So, you know, so that.
Right. You got to make sure he's on board. Right,
right, right, right. And that could change the whole dynamic. I think it's going to make the next two and a half months leading up to the draft very interesting. You're going to see a lot of rumors. The one rumor that I won't believe, and people were, a lot of the draft picks were putting out, was that Arizona's going to take him at one. I think that is so far-fetched because they traded up last year to draft Josh Rosen. They brought in a new, you know, similar to the Bears situation, they brought in a quarterback to fix this guy's problems and help develop him. There's no way that they're going to get rid of him after 1 year and after trading up to get him just to draft another quarterback, and especially in one that's 5'9".
Greg, yesterday Antonio Brown officially requested a trade from the Steelers. Certainly there's going to be a lot of interest in Antonio Brown. The question, not only here in Chicago will be, but other places, what is the price? What will that cost a team to get into the discussion to trade for Antonio Brown if indeed the Steelers are willing to part with him?
You know, well, number one, that's the most important question. Are the Steelers, you know, willing to part with him? He just signed a new contract last year.
Right.
The cap hit that they would take, and I don't have the numbers in front of me.
But if they wait until after March, it's lessened if they wait until after March.
But the problem is, not only did he sign a new contract, they reworked it, and they turned a ton of money in that deal into bonus money. So that the signing bonus money accelerates into the year when you draft him. It would cost them a huge chunk of change. So therefore, the value they get back would have to be higher, and yet the kid is demanded out. Everybody knows they so-called have to trade him, and if that's the case, they're not going to get the value that they'd get, number one, for the player or the cap hit they'd have to take.
Amari Cooper got a first-round pick for the Cowboys. What do you think that Brown would be worth?
Oh, I think from a value point of view, he's easily worth worth a first round pick. He's going to be better than any receiver in this draft. And, you know, he's still relatively young as far as football years go. You know, he's got a lot of years left to play in the league. Obviously, there's some attitude problems. I'm not going to say character problems. It was more attitude, but he did have some character situations when he entered the draft, and that's why he fell. And he didn't run good at the combine. He's a lot faster than he ran at the combine. But there was stuff that went on. He was thrown out of one school. Then he goes up to Central Michigan. He didn't have a clean slate, so to speak, when he, and that's why he lasted as long as he did in the draft. But he stayed clean in the league up until the last year. And now things have happened, and people start remembering about what happened, when, why he dropped in the draft to begin with. So a lot of that comes into play. But the Steelers aren't going to get rid of this guy because they're taking a double whammy. They're getting rid of a great player, an all-pro player, and it's costing them money. You know, that's pretty hard to do.
Here it is. He agreed to a 4-year, $68 million deal in February of 2017. They restructured the contract. Basically, there is a $21.12 million in prorated bonuses left on the deal heading into the offseason. That becomes dead money. The team that gets him gets an unbelievable bargain. He'd be, whatever, $12 million, something like that. I think $12.6 for 2019. That's a really nice contract for a guy of his value. But, I mean, what do you need in return to take that kind of cap hit, Pittsburgh? Shouldn't they try to figure out a way of hanging on to him or working something out?
A first and a third? I mean, two
you
draft picks.
To. Yeah. Yep. You almost have to figure out a way to keep him.
Right.
And to smooth things over, because I don't have the chart in front of me as far as how much money Pittsburgh has on their cap for this year. But who can afford to take a $20 million cap hit?
Oh.
Besides nobody.
Yeah.
You know,
other than nobody, yeah.
I mean, that's giving money away. And that not only, you know, weakens the franchise, but it pisses off the owner a little bit because it's wasted money.
The only good thing about that, I suppose, would be that really any team in the league could manipulate money to make that contract work, right? So it's a question of maybe trying to get the best deal from 31 other teams.
Well, true, but it's still, no matter what, I don't even think there's a way to rewrite the contract before the Steelers traded him. So that one way or another, they're getting hit for $21 million because that's just the way contracts work in the NFL. That money goes out, you're going to get charged for it sooner or later.
And they only have $19.2 million left under the cap right now. Without moving anybody around.
I mean, that answers your question right there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. God. It's beautiful. Greg, you're the best. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Greg.
Okay, guys. Talk to you soon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.